You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord, we thank you for the children that you've given us, and especially this morning, we thank you for our girls. I pray this morning that you would speak to us through these wonderful women who have come to speak to us sort of on the back end of raising girls and being raised in a family full of girls. I pray that you would be with us this morning. That's all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so...
Okay.
But we shall let the interview commence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who are we?
Tell us who you are, and then tell us how you know each other.
Okay. I'm Ann Marie Brown, married to Pratt, and I know these children right here. And they are...
Gail Chiappetti.
And Virginia Blanche.
And we have one other daughter, Campbell Marshall, and she couldn't make it today, so... Anyway, I'm sure they will fill her in, and she can listen online and say, that's wrong.
And we, Mom had three girls within 3 years, so Campbell and I are 15 months apart, and then, thank you. Yeah, it's a little too proud. And then Gail and I are 12 months apart.
Oh, that's even better. Total darkness.
I think let's just go full light.
Just go.
Hey, here we are.
Very good.
All right. So say again. Three girls in 3 years.
Yeah. So Campbell and I are 15 months apart. June. So 12 months.
Less than 2.5 years.
So in the order, Campbell's the oldest girl, followed by Virginia, followed by Gail. And Marie's still with us.
And we both have girls.
Yeah, a little 8-month girl.
Mm-hmm. I have a 1-year-old and another girl on the way.
So we like girls. They're fun.
And I'm just as an interested party as well. We Fagans have 2 girls, 3.5, 1.5. We're having another girl coming up. So I'm learning as well this morning. I'd love just to know, like, all of our kids are different. So just tell us about, like, in your personalities. Anne Marie can help share. Campbell can't. Don't talk about Campbell now. But with Gail, tell us about your personalities and kind of how the dynamic fit together.
Okay, I'm going to say what I think they are, and y'all can either agree or disagree. Okay. Campbell, firstborn, very cautious, very observant, a rule follower. Mm-hmm. Virginia, secondborn, foil. I mean, in everything she does.
Brave, much braver.
Brave, try anything. Campbell wouldn't do anything. She would push Virginia and say, here, you, Virginia, you do it first. And then Gail, very sensitive, mainly sensitive for other people's feelings. And laughter, happiness, just silliness, giggle.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, we all are very different, but it flows well.
The thing that they're all alike on, very, very, very protective of their sisters. Very. And I think that stems from them being scared of me. So they had to really depend on each other a lot, I think.
So, And I should say, and I want you all to, I mean, especially Gail and Virginia, I mean, y'all are still really close now. Y'all are very close with Campbell now, so this is a, it's not like you all went your, different directions. Y'all are still really close friends, which is why it was so much fun just to ask you guys to do this, because y'all love each other, which is and support each other. So I want to ask Gail and Virginia your perspective. Mm-hmm. What was it like growing up in a house full of girls? Paint the whole picture, if you will.
Okay, my first thought was, this isn't like a biblical truth, so don't hold on to this, but I was like, we at times wanted to kill each other, but we would kill for each other. Like, I can be mad at my sister, but you can't be mad at my sister. Which is obviously not a biblical truth, but just like how close and how loyal we are with each other. But full picture is giggles, laughter, lots of dancing, silliness.
To this day.
Yeah. Yeah, we laugh at inappropriate times as well. We had big feelings, so a lot of times that accompanied bickering. But then, like, I would want to tattle on Virginia. But then if Mom punished Virginia, I would be mad at Mom because now I'm sad for Virginia. You know, it was one of those.
And then to piggyback off of her, what comes to mind is, like, safety and security through having a sisters. Like, you knew that they were always there, regardless of, like, if you bickered or fought or whatever was happening outside of the home, you always knew that you had your sisters. Like safety, unconditional love.
You say built-in best friends.
Built-in best friends.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, did which combination of you all, did you share a room growing up?
We did.
Well, we all three shared a room.
Okay.
For five years.
Okay.
And yeah. Then we continued to share a room for a really long time.
And then we got our own room. We still wanted to share.
Yeah, we still sleep in our room a lot. But
even though we drew a line, you know, in the middle of the room, we still wanted to share.
Yeah. So I do want to answer a couple explicitly Christian questions here to Emery. What are some specific prayers that you remember, you and Pratt remember praying for your girls as they were growing up?
I couldn't really remember, but I could look back at old journals and remember then. Let's see, the oldest one here, I'll say is in 2009. This was pretty much the end of every single prayer. Thank you for Campbell, Virginia, and Gail, their sweet and dear ways, and their commitment to each other. That was in... Okay, 2009. Thank you for Campbell, Virginia, and Gail and their sweet ways and their commitment to each other and that they love unconditionally. Keep going here.
Yeah, this is great.
I'm impressed you still have these.
God, you know my heart and my girls. Thank you for their beauty and grace. Search them out and give them desire to know and love you more each day. This is obviously older. A more recent one. Send godly men to love and cherish Virginia, Gail, and Campbell. Okay, those were my two good. I mean, continuous prayers. Mm-hmm. And it happened.
Yeah.
Thanks be to God.
So, yeah, those are the prayers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then tell us how, with you and Pratt raising your girls, I'm sure this is all a question that's on all of our minds as people who are here and committed to our Christian faith and therefore going to church on Sunday mornings. What are ways that you encouraged your girls to grow in their faith and to come to church on Sunday mornings without it being a burdensome thing?
Pratt and I were both raised going to church. It was just, we did not question it. We just did it. He lived in about seven different states. They lived every couple of years with DuPont Corporation. They found a church. They got settled in a church. Mr. Brown taught Sunday school. That's just what they did. I was raised in a couple of different churches. My parents started too. And we just went. That's what we didn't know life without going to church. Going to youth group and mission trips, and it's just what we did. So Brad and I met at church, and we're married about 3 or 4 years after that. And that's just what we did, and I thought that's what we do as a family. And so it never entered our mind that that would be something that they would not do. There were times when high school ages weren't really excited about getting up and going. But they had friends at church, they loved the youth group, they went on all the mission trips, they did everything with the youth, so they had friends in Sunday school, so it made it a little easier. And when it got to be a struggle with them wanting to wake up early, we changed from the 9 o'clock to the 11 o'clock service, just because then we could all go as a family.
Yeah, yeah, that's all great. Yeah. I'm not sure, yeah, that's... making it something that your family just does. It's sort of a, when I was in high school once, I had one of those high school moments of like, I'm not getting up this morning to go to church. And my mom ripped the covers off my bed and say, you don't skip school, you don't skip work, you don't skip church. And it sort of just felt like this thing is like, this is what we do this morning. And sort of building it in without it, with sort of being a non-negotiable. And then like something that, that you enjoy doing.
Right. And it, I can say it was easier because they were always together. Mm-hmm. I mean, not in grade school, Sunday school classes, but once the youth group, it was just, they were always together. So, but they all had friends, buddies their ages. Yep. So, and being consistent about going gave them the opportunity to meet and know people in them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And something she won't share, but I'll share as the child of her, something that we picked up on, was just her action, just the way she lived her life. Like, you are very disciplined, and so is Dad naturally, but especially like your contributions to the church, just watching that. She wasn't talking about it all the time, but we mm-hmm. saw that, and I feel like that spoke volumes on us. And now as an adult, I'm like, well, that's what we do. The church has given so much to us, and we want to give back. I want to be a part of it. And how you treated other people. So just being kind and courteous to other people. Mama said recently, she was like, I've never regretted being kind. And so I feel like that was something that we, and she attributes all that because God is kind to us, therefore we are kind to other people. So I feel like those are things that didn't put pressure on us, but that helped steer us in our faith. And recently, I've shared this with Will and them, but as I was preparing for this talk, I was like, I should probably open my Bible and be in the Bible a little bit. And I opened up and just started flipping through and found a note. And I know this is just one of many, many, but that Mom had written me and just put on my bathroom counter. And it was a Bible verse, and it wasn't like, you should honor your mother. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, it was like, call on the Lord, like he's always there for you. And it wasn't like, and then tell me about it. I mean, it wasn't asking something. It was just like, God is there for you, you know.
And those popped up a lot on our, like on my mirror in the bathroom.
In lunch boxes.
Lunch boxes, just Bible verses from Mom, encouraging words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's from a there is research backed up, and I don't want to take this too far, but like an impersonal strain. I wish I could cite the research, but if a child sees their parents committed to something, whatever that is, then they will immediately be more likely to commit to that thing as they grow up. That's sort of just basic kind of sociology 101, anthropology 101. But it goes for church attendance and reading your Bible. If your child sees that you all, as their parent, take something seriously, they will file that away. Like, this is important. I remember my mother doing her Bible study every morning on the screen porch, every day my entire life. I just remember that being a priority. And my dad would ride to dad with to church to make the coffee in the morning. There's something he just tag along with. There's just things that you get in your mind. I'm not saying your children will be Episcopal priests one day. They can do anything they want. And yet, I can speak for myself, just following, echoing, just little things like leaving notes to your kids about, the Lord loves you. I want you to know that. I love you. I want you to know that. It comes out of you all so easily. So thank you for sharing that.
Pratt was, and still is, the fun one in the family, which is great because I'm more the... He affectionately calls me the drill sergeant. So at least with the girls when they were growing up. And so he's always been the fun one. But so generous. And I think his generosity to, people that are less fortunate. And I think the girls have seen that throughout his life. And he does that because he feels that he is fortunate to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And God has given him the gift to be able to do that, and he does that well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a question for all three of you. When you think about girls growing up, you just think about navigating friend groups and who are you going to be friends with and how does this all fit together, and the moms and dads really worrying about their kids and their social connection. So a question for you. How did you all how would you encourage families who are having a difficult time socially or finding, quote, their friend group as they're raising girls? Growing up,
y'all may not know this, but or I may have told you this. When I was young and very, very shy and no friends, my parents noticed that I needed some other activity. So I was dancing, doing other stuff, but they took me horseback riding. Mm-hmm. I was so, I don't know, inside myself. And so that kind of brought me out a little bit, met people. I think if you find something your child might be passionate about, the friends will come later. Give them the self-confidence. But also have your children around children you want them to be around from a pretty early age. And there will be, you know, ebbs and flows of that, but, you know, have a very strong group of parents that you think are really, really strong and, you know, can raise their children the way you would do the same. Because they'll be spending the night at their houses. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to pay attention to that sort of thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from y'all.
Yeah. We were just talking about this. We took a girls' trip recently, and there were other girls and extended family that were there as well. And I think, so first what I would share is that everyone had a story about that. So like, you are not alone. Your child is not alone in that feeling. You know, leaving sixth grade and going to seventh grade. So in Mount Brick school system, that's like a change of schools. You are then pulled in with more children, which is great. So there are other kids there, but a lot of times that's a shifting point for children, or it definitely was for me. And I found myself realizing, like, oh my goodness, this group that I thought I was a part of, I'm not really a part of. And your wife, Elizabeth, was like one of my best friends, but I didn't have like a crew, if that makes sense. And it was very lonely. It was hard at the time, but it like forced me to branch out and like meet other people. And I had like my people, you know, I always had my sisters, had my family, but it forced me to sort of branch out and like, those are my people now. Like everyone I met in seventh grade when I thought like my life was ending because I had no friends, you know, like those are my people to this day. So encouragement is that you're not alone, and God works in mysterious ways. Like you might be brought to this point for a reason to be shifted somewhere else. So,
and then another take on that is I think about if there's ever a friendship issue, even still to this day as an adult, that I know, I think I said this earlier, but I know I have my sisters. Mm-hmm. And like when we went to camp every summer, it's funny because when you have girls your age, you're in this cabin with them, you're signing up for classes, and it's exciting, and you think you want to do stuff with your girls in your cabin, but I'm running to my sisters to see what their schedule is because I want to make sure I'm with them. Mm-hmm. So I think that security is mm-hmm. so important to me and still is to this day. So I guess my encouragement, if you have multiple children, get them to lean on each other. Because friendships ebb and flow, and that's going to happen. But you can come home, you know you have your siblings.
And to your point, like it teaches you skills that when you're older, I mean, this may happen again. You might be in a coworker situation where, you know, not everyone is, you know, or everyone might be in this little clique and you're still on the outside. So leaning on truths like, God loves me, I am worthy because of him. You know, like this doesn't define me just because I'm not part of that.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I was thinking about, talking to my husband this morning about this talk, his sister has two daughters, and I hear them say a lot, like if they're a big age gap of the girls, and the younger one will say, well, she did not play with me, or, you know, and the mom and dad will say, no, you always have your sister's back. Like, do not come tattle to me about your sister. Like, you have her back. So y'all, you know, figure it out, talk about it, but don't come to us and complain about your sister because you shouldn't be complaining about her. You have her back, mm-hmm. which I thought is so sweet.
I'd love to hear just what are some ways that you two have kind of found that you've supported each other, you know, post-college to now? What are some, I know y'all are so close. What are some
physically being there for each other. So like showing up, whether that is like, I will drive to Virginia's house if I know that that's what she needs. She is a be with you person. Where her oldest sister Campbell may not want that. She might want some distance, but she wants to know you're there. So like sending her a text message that, you know, so I think knowing your people and like how to love them well, Campbell words of affirmation. So like, whatever she's going through, that's hard. Like validating how she's feeling, that's really hard. You know, that this is going on with your kids or whatever she's sharing, and not trying to fix it, I feel like is big. With
which is really hard for me because I want to fix it and fix it for my sisters, and that has gotten me in trouble with trying to be there for them because they don't want to hear how we can fix it. They just want me to say,
well, listen, I've already thought of everything that you're going to say.
Exactly. Like, they just want me to say, like, I'm sorry, this is really hard that you're going through that, and sit with them and be with them and check on them.
Yeah. Emory, if you were just to say, well, what are just a couple of things that you and Pratt kind of had on your mind as you thought, this is the way we want to raise our girls to send them out into the world? What are sort of just the core things that you were walking through raising your girls?
We heard a talk one time, and a football player, I should know the name of this football player that's written some books. Anyway, sorry, I don't know his name. But he talked about packing suitcases for your children and the things that you want them to have the rest of their life to make sure that is in their suitcase before they leave. And I think we were trying to be intentional about that. Knowing who they are, that they're God's children, them knowing how to write a thank you note, you know, just basic stuff, but also spiritual stuff, so that they won't be in our home forever, and they will go through tough times, and that's the only thing that's going to get them through.
I'd love to just hear from you all, what's your one encouragement for parents of girls, and then I want to hear what's your one encouragement for girls. What's your one encouragement for parents of girls?
Parents of girls, enjoy them. They will love you the rest of your life. My brother-in-law, who's a doctor, said, have as many girls as you can have because they're the ones that visit you in the hospital. I went, yay! We did it! So they are the ones that will be there for you the rest of your life. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
This is something that I like say to myself because I'm a control freak. So it's sort of a bit paradoxical, but you are not in control. I have to tell myself that and be like, that's a good thing. You are not fully in control, and that's a good thing. Because God's in control, and He loves your children, which is hard for me to believe that He loves Stella any more than I could love Stella, but He does. And so sort of just like freedom in every decision you make isn't, you know, altering the course completely of their life. You have, God is ultimately in control.
Are we doing parents?
Yeah, parents. Yeah.
Parents.
I thought them.
Oh, gosh. I was thinking on girls, so now I don't know.
Well, you give us what's your one encouragement for girls?
My one encouragement for girls. To lean on your parents even when things get hard, because they will always be there for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember talking to some of my friends just when we've gone through hard things, and you know, sometimes you don't want to tell your parents certain things at certain ages. And I remember thinking, but I know that they still love me.
You all can make your kids listen to that this afternoon.
Yeah. And, like a flip side for that for you would be like encouragement for you as a mom would be like making sure Madeline knows she can come to you with anything and that you always love her.
Yeah,
I feel like it's something big. But for girls?
Yeah, for girls.
Okay. Just that Jesus loves you and that this world doesn't define you. yeah, I think that would be like the...
That's great.
Short, succinct version.
So what's your number one encouragement for girls?
That's about it. You can listen to what the world says, or you can listen to what God says. And God's in control, and God's the win. He's the win. So that's what you would just have to hang on to in all those rough times.
Yeah. Emery, Gail, Virginia, thank you. Let's give them a round of applause. Do you want to take some questions? Would you take some questions from the field?
Sure. Or y'all give us some advice.
Yeah. Okay,
we have a couple of minutes for your thoughts and questions from the field.
When you think of a time, hopefully not too personal, but when you think of a time or a few times where your dad's really pulled through for you in a way that was meaningful, what kind of comes to mind?
And yeah, our dad would joke that Mom handled everything, that he was just the fun one, that he was behind the scenes, but what he said mattered. Like, he is like our biggest cheerleader. I mean, not bigger than Mom, you know what I mean, but he just like is such a encourager. Like, if you know my dad, he's just like, fantastic, that's great. And he made us feel that way. Like, the receiving end of that was huge. And I do think what, to your point, like what dads say to their daughters, it I've heard is like written on their hearts, you know? And I think that's true.
Yeah, like even to this day, Dad will send us these texts in all caps. And he's like, I am so proud of you. What you do is amazing. I love you so much. And my husband laughs because I'll start crying. Which I cry all the time. But nothing new. But I'll start crying. And he's like, if your mom sent that, would you have the same reaction? And no, not at all. I'd be like, that's awesome. But Dad sends it, it's like gold. Like, just...
This is what Pratt did just recently. Virginia had off school, and he went, let's go to the beach. So he took Virginia and her baby Madeline to the beach. Yeah. I mean, that's he wants to be with them when he can. So sweet.
Sweet. Yeah, so words of encouragement stick from Dad.
They do.
How did you handle the big emotions of your girls? I don't know what to do.
Dad walked out of the room.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was, there was lots of that. And especially sort of junior high age, sixth through ninth grade, a lot of, I was going to wear that today, and you have it on, because they were all around the same size. And it was worse for my husband, because he didn't like the whining and the screaming. And I guess I grew up with a sister, and so I was just used to it, and it wasn't as bad. But, you know, I guess it was chaotic, yeah. But you just have to learn how to go.
Did a good job of making us go back to each other and either apologize or, like, have a neutral conversation. When we were, I want to say really little, but we really weren't that little. So when you hear this, it's just going to be like, what? But she said that her dad made, she and her sister do this a couple of times, but if we were bickering, she would make us get together and put our noses together. And like, you know, just sitting there with our noses together. And we would always end up laughing. I mean, we thought it was hilarious. And I don't mean like, I mean, we weren't like 5 and 6. We were like probably borderline junior high school. I'm not sure. But anyway, so I don't know how she handled in the moment, but she was good in helping us reconnect after.
Five time. We have one more.
I was just going to say, in your developmental years, I mean, were there any seasons where you were parenting them when they were kind of struggling with their faith or, you know, developing a personal relationship with the Lord?
I would say not really that. Other things that might have, that they struggled through, yes, definitely. And that is more of a, you know, one-on-one conversation with the child and just staying there with them and making sure that they're getting through it. You know, I never felt like any of our girls struggled with faith. And it might just be that they weren't telling me because they were afraid to, or they thought I would be, I mean, they would be ashamed to tell me that. But they had their sisters there too, so it would have.
I would say too, more if there was that going on, youth group might have been, like, our youth leader would be, I don't know,
there to talk.
Yeah,
yeah. Sometimes, well, I heard Paul Zoll preach a sermon when a long, long time ago that he prayed for his sons to have a mentor get in their life, not faith come from him speaking it into their life, but someone else. And that was a big prayer of mine too, so that other people of faith would bless my children and would lead them where they needed to go.
Thank you. I'd love to pray for us as we go out. Lord, we thank you for our daughters. Thank you for the ways that they bless our lives. We pray for their lives as they grow up, as they learn you, Lord, and you get to know them. As they get to know you and you get to know them, I pray that you would lift their hearts to you, that they would know how much they are loved by you. Thank you this morning, Lord, for Anne Marie and for Gail and Virginia, for the ways that they have just spoken to all of us through and for you, Lord. I thank you just for the ways that you have loved them, you've carried them, and thank you for Anne Marie and Pratt and the way they've raised just these wonderful women now. And I pray for Gail and Virginia and then Campbell and their daughters and future children, Lord, that they would know you, Lord. They would have a loving and personal relationship with you. Pray for especially all of our girls and their relationships with each other this morning. They would be friends and have each other's backs all the days of their lives. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.